duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you're trying to get by with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear. Amen. And we follow the law as long as the law doesn't go against. That's when we get bold, amen, and that's okay. All right, Tanya, you did such a good job last Sunday. I know this is kind of old school, but I want you to open up in prayer again.
Let's give him some good praise. Amen. Somebody say he is good.
Amen. Come on down front. Come on down front and worship the Lord. Amen.
I saw Satan fall as lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise of my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'll justify. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters. God will finish what he started. Yes, our God will finish what he started. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I'm not dead. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no, I'm not going. still to come.
Come on.
This is my testimony. From death to life, His grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Thank you. Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. A holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out.
Our prayer,
your presence.
Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. There's nothing that can compare to His love, His awesome power, and His awesome presence. Draw close to Him, and He will draw nigh unto thee. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I'd like for the ushers to go ahead and come at this time. We're going to continue our worship with tithe and offering this morning. God bless you, sister. Well, hallelujah. How many feel good this morning? Amen. It's a good day. It's the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 God is so good to His people. Well, Lord, we just want to praise You and thank You for the opportunity to give this morning. Lord God, we just thank You that as we sow into Your kingdom, we help establish Your covenant in this earth. We help that lives can be touched and changed and saved for Your glory. In Jesus' name, receive the offering.
But I started thinking about, there's all sorts of stuff going on in the heavenlies. When one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And a while back, the Lord gave me this song, and it talks about stuff that's going on in the spiritual realm. If we could see into the spiritual realm and the preparations that are being made in heaven right now for us that love the Lord, it's called Gabriel is already standing. That the angel Gabriel is already ready to blow the horn. He's just waiting on the Lord to say go.
Gabriel's already standing. Gabriel's already standing. Earthquakes, rumors of war, we're closer than we ever have been before. He told us in Matthew 24, when you see these things, you'll know Gabriel's already standing. Angels are waiting with the mighty band. Gabriel standing, trumpet in his hand, waiting on the Lord's command. Brother, the time is now. It's all gonna happen in the blink of an eye when Jesus splits that eastern sky and the saints go marching in. Gabriel's already standing. Angels are waiting with the mighty band. Gabriel's standing, his trumpet in his hand, waiting on the Lord's command. Wake up, sinner, we're short on time. Open your eyes up and see the signs. You don't want to be one left behind when you hear that trumpet blow. Gabriel's already standing. Angels are waiting with the mighty band. Gabriel's standing, his trumpet in his hand. Gabriel's already standing. Angels are waiting with the mighty band. Gabriel's standing, his trumpet in his hand, waiting on the Lord's command.
Let's go ahead and stand together this morning. Gabriel is standing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. And I don't know whether we talked about it this morning or not, but Bacaneo. Time is running short on anyone who wants to get involved in the school of Caneo. I encourage you to do that. A very, very, very good school. Very good accreditation, Trans World accreditation. It'll be a blessing to you, enrich your life, and I can tell you right now, you'll never regret doing it in Jesus' name. I think it's about $855 a year or something like that, which is a really good price on this. Man, you'll learn stuff and be enriched in your life in ways that you never thought before. You'll have the scripture opened up to you and be able to see things that you've never seen before. And so I encourage you. Matter of fact, the deadline is coming up. When is the deadline on this? July 31st. So that's not very far away. So I encourage you. Year one students, then we have some year two students that are involved. Every Tuesday night is when it takes place here at 7 o'clock. So I encourage you for year one students. And then on Thursday nights will be for year two students. And it'll bless you. Praise God. And it'll enrich your life. Amen. Amen. How many are happy, as Mike said this morning? Amen. And so I get to try out my new glasses this morning. Praise God. Deborah, she keeps me stocked up, man. And I'm like, I hate to wear them because when I look at, then after I take them off, everything looks blurry. And I like to see good. So I guess if I need to get close to you, I need to put my glasses on so I can really see what you look like. Amen. Matthew 24, verse number 3. And the Bible says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Let's read it again. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. And I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to minister to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need your touch. We can do nothing apart from you. We ask you to come, Lord, and bring conviction to hearts that will draw closer to you. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name that everything that the enemy has brought, Father God, will be cast off in Jesus' name. We thank you today for your anointing. Thank you for your presence and all you do. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Man, Barry, that was an awesome song. Praise God. Awesome song. Amen. Amen. It was good. You know, he was asking me this morning, he said, Pastor, what do you think? He said, I got two songs. I said, well, I got two set sermons. I said, what you got, brother? So we were just kind of feeling each other out, and you just kind of get your heart. And I said, actually, I have three. And so, you know, you come prepared for anything. I think God does that to confuse the enemy. And I love it when God does it. In some ways, it drives me crazy. And it's like, Lord, what do you want? And sometimes you just do not know until you get behind the pulpit and God speaks to you and the Lord leads you. And I believe the Lord today is going to move in hearts and is going to move in lives in a powerful way. Amen. I'm already shifting gears in case you didn't know. And so I'm not even going to Matthew 24 and 3. I felt like the Lord's moving me in a different direction. And I'll just quote a scripture to you from Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter number 4. Jesus says something that is very important to us as people, individuals. And I'm not even talking about redeemed ones. I'm talking about those who need to be redeemed, those who are lost, and those who do not even think about God at all. And I believe today that the Lord will touch you in a very, very special way. And, you know, I wrote this down. I told Barry, I said, actually, I was sitting at the house and began to just write this down. And we're going to talk about beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Isaiah 61 and in Luke chapter number 4, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament prophet. And he says, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise, instead of a spirit of heaviness. Every time that I read that scripture, I'm impacted by it. I think about it. It's probably one of my favorite, and I know I say this a lot, one of my favorite scriptures out of Isaiah when he begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. But the sole purpose of the anointing is to destroy the yoke and to lift the burden from people's lives. Today, we see a lot of people that are burdened. I mean, they are bent over with weights. If we could actually see them in the spirit, they would be carrying things that it would be like, how in the world are you carrying that? How, you know, how do you exist of all this on you? I'm reminded of things that I've seen, you know, on the news and just flipping through and catching a few talk shows and Dr. Phil and different counselors and the things that also that I counsel people with and things that people go through, broken lives, divorce, shattered families, people that are messed up in their gender, people that have no idea, you know, what life is all about. Why am I even here? And so the big question is that you are here because God Almighty wanted you to be here. I heard Jesse Duplantis many years ago make a statement that when he was talking, and he said that in heaven he saw a vision, and in the vision he said he saw and heard sounds like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And he said this is just going on constantly, and he heard voices that were saying, Lord, send me, let me go into the earth. And he said they were the spirits of humans that were not yet born on the earth. And I believe that because I think before you come from heaven to earth, I think that's where you are. You are in the heart of God, the mind of God. You are the creation of God, and that the Lord allows you to come into this earth. The thing about it is when we get here, everybody say when we get here. When we get here, you know, we are human. We are born human beings. It's a whole different game. But see, spirits in heaven understand the cost. They understand life. They understand, when I say life, I'm talking about God Almighty. And they understand darkness. They understand the demon powers of hell, Lucifer, and all that happened. And so that's why they cried to come to this earth. It's because they want to make a difference. And probably he's talking about Jesse Duplantis was every one of us crying out to God to send us. Let me come into this earth. Let me see if I can make a difference. Let me see if I can help someone to find Jesus. Because this is what this is all about. It's leading people to Christ. Amen. Beauty for ashes. Being born into circumstances which seem to cancel you before you get started does not determine your future. The way you conceive your future determines what happens with you. What are you impregnated with today in your mind? What are you thinking? Are you thinking, I'm a loser, that I'll never become anything? It's impossible for me to reach this place or this goal in life. See, the way that you form the mental representation or your mindset is what determines that in life. Amen. As a man thinketh, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, in his heart so is he. And that's an important thing to bring out today because lots of people think that they'll never attain, never can have. That's why they live in failure. That's why they live broken lives. So you may be in circumstances this morning that look like impossibilities. Circumstances are the devil's way of stopping you before you get started. Death reigns in your life through the power of sin, the Bible tells us. Because sin is darkness that blinds one's eyes from God's greatest and God's best. I mean, after all, if I were born into this earth and I could see God and know who he was and see what he had for my future and everything that he had planned, because I know that he has a hope and a future for me, my life would be absolutely different. But I'm born in darkness. I'm born in sin, shaping in iniquity, the Bible says. And the Bible teaches me that sin separates me from the life and the blessing of God. See, until we understand what sin is, why am I wrestling with transgender? Why am I wrestling with homosexuality? Why am I wrestling with failure? Why am I wrestling with looking at myself, you know, as someone that's just, you know, the bottom of the class? Why do I think those thoughts? The reason that you think suicidal thoughts and the reason that you think, you know, that you can't have better is because the devil has convinced you. And darkness is all over you and all over the world in which we live, Isaiah says. Darkness covers the earth, gross darkness the people. because in that darkness you cannot see. Oh my God, I wish that I could have seen a long time ago. I could have saved myself lots of heartache and lots of pain. I could have avoided a lot of things in life. But darkness blinds us and darkness keeps us from being able to see. Sin and darkness are synonymous terms. So sin darkens our thoughts with failure. In fact, Romans 6 and 23, we said this last week. The wages of sin, can I put it another way? The wages of darkness is death. If you take a plant and leave it in darkness, it cannot survive and it cannot grow. I don't care what kind of picture you got of it and say, man, this thing's going to be beautiful. If you put it in a dark room somewhere, it'll die. It will never thrive. It will never bloom. It will never grow because it's in darkness. But there's more to the story. Darkness is the circumstances you were born into. The poverty, the sickness, the disease, the curse, the other side of the tracks, the helplessness, the despair, the pain, the hurt, the addiction, the bondage, the darkness of sin. But as we said, there's another side to the story. There's another side. When the Lord was giving me this, I began to think about all the people that I have met down through the years. Some time ago when I came first here, there was a man by the name of Ralph, and who was an alcoholic. And I remember going to see him on several occasions. And he lived in the back of a little camper. And I remember going to that camper, Deborah and I did, and when I opened the door, I thought I would vomit because garbage was piled up to the ceiling. There was enough space for me to get in the back of that, and he would crawl up in that and lay in a bed in the front of it. And I would talk to him, and I'd say, Ralph, I said, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, gave his life for you, and there's more and there's better. And he would tell me, he says, I'm happy, I'm fine. You know, I'm good. I said, but have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Have you ever asked Christ into your heart? No, I never have. And I would see him get under conviction. Matter of fact, he even came to church a few times. And I would talk to him. I'd say, Ralph, I said, don't you understand? Because he was a sickly individual. He was living in a putrid lifestyle in a place of darkness that no human being would hardly dare venture even going into. And you think to yourself, how can a human being live in this? How many have ever seen the program Hoarders? The smell was horrendous. And I remember that Ralph, you know, he began to bleed. And so they would come and get him. And one time when they came and got him, almost all the blood had drawn out of his body. And they took him. And then he said, a voice spoke to him. And he looked at me and he said, I can't die. I said, oh, yes, you can. I said, there's things that matter. I said, if you die without Christ, hell is where you're going. But if you die with Jesus, you're going to heaven. I could not convince that man to give his heart to Jesus because the darkness was so gross. Are you listening to me? I had another individual that I used to visit that lived in a trailer, and I would go talk to him, and he came to church on several occasions, but I never will forget the day that we talked to him about Christ, and he came down the aisle and he stood there and we prayed over him. He was bound by the darkness of alcohol. Living alone was broken. I never will forget, you know, that he had half a foot, that he had received an injury, had worked hard all of his life. And he was kind of one of those people, you know, that at the end of the week, I just need to get a reward, man. If I can just go to the ABC store and if I can get me a fifth and I can sit down in front of the TV and I can just, you know, just look at my favorite television program, watch wrestling or something like that, then I've had a great week. I'm going to tell you something, that is not a great week. That's trying to numb yourself because darkness is around you and you think that there's no hope for your future, that you cannot change. I'm not educated enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the clothing. I don't have the house. I don't have, you know, the lineage. I don't have this and I don't have that. That's circumstances, and circumstances only can exist in darkness. And so I remember when he went to the hospital and he was dying. And so I went to the hospital to see him, and there were people in the room. And I remember, you know, I said, Lord, I can't, you know, because it's like they didn't want me to talk to him. But anyway, I remember I turned around and I left, and I began to come back toward the church. Coming down the hill where Walmart is now, before Walmart was ever built, and there was a plant up there. But I never will forget, God spoke to me and he said, I told you to go tell that man about me one more time. I turned my car around, went back, and I said, God, you're going to have to arrange the circumstances. I went in. The room was empty. It was me and him. We prayed a prayer together. He made everything right with God, and I had left, and only a few hours later, he breathed his last breath. It was out of this world until the next. But darkness kept him and Ralph and millions of people today bound. Drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual addictions. Everything that we can think of in this world. See, Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said, the person that is lost, they can't understand spiritual things. He said, but when you preach the gospel, the light comes on, and they began to see just a spark of hope. They began to understand. See, there's more to the story. There's another side of the story, because Christ came to call us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. 1 Peter tells us in chapter 2, verse number 9. You see, the problem is not that we were not born into wealth, or we were not born into position or fortune or education or possessions or acclaim and all the other things that we can list in life. That's not the problem. For whether we're rich or poor or bond or free or Jew or Gentile, Hispanic or black or yellow or whatever that it might be in life, the circumstances are not the problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. It was the problem. It is the problem. It continues to be the darkness that blinds the hearts and the minds of people. But the moment that you answer the call, oh, I love this. The moment that you answer the call, see, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in darkness. I know what it's like to want to die. I know what it's like to not want to live. And I'm not going into my sinful life because people would begin to try to read between the lines or things like that. But I can tell you right now, that darkness will carry you to hell. It blinds you. Oh, let me tell you something. If you could only understand what the devil's plan for you is, that in that darkness, that he's taken you by the hand of that sinful desire, and he's leading you through his darkness so that he can take you to something that takes you into further darkness, so that he can one day end up with your soul in his hell, having you burn forever along with him. And there's no one in hell that you're going to see. It's all outer darkness. And he understands that he's going there, and he wants to take as many people as he possibly can. I was well on my way. Now listen to me. This is important. Sin is darkness. Darkness blinds. But the moment you answer the call, the light comes on. It's in the Greek epignosis. The light is flipped. You see, it's your choice. Failure is your choice. Prison can be your choice. Misery can be your choice. See, what you need to understand is that God created us to fellowship one with another. God created us to love him. And you may think that you don't need anybody else, but you need somebody's fellowship and somebody's acknowledgement, somebody to look at you and give you a nice compliment once in a while, or just pat you on the back. You don't need somebody all the time leading you down into further darkness. Take this shot, sniff this up your nose, get in this relationship. I was thinking the other day how that there's counselors, and I've been there and had people to go to them. And I've actually taken people there and turned around and walked out to where the counselor was because they were homosexual. I said, you don't need this. And I've seen counselors that would say things like, you just need to get involved in a sexual relationship. Go out and get drunk. That's some of the stuff that you need to do. How many knows that that's just a little bit more darkness piled up on the heap? Sin will destroy you. It pays its wages. Darkness pays its wages, and it pays them every day, because when we quote that scripture, we think that, you know, well, you know, in the end, I'm going to end up in hell. That's what it's talking about. No, it's talking about that in your sin, you're getting paid right now. You think that you're having a high, but it's really a low. Because if you're being driven by methadone, if you're being driven by crack cocaine, if you're being driven by heroin, that's a darkness of hell, my friend, that you just can't get up and climb out of on your own. You're going to have a mighty hand from heaven to reach down and help you and deliver you out of your dilemma and out of your darkness. Come on, somebody. The sexual immorality that exists in the world is just a demon out of hell telling you that you're void, that you're ugly, that nobody wants you, that you can't be satisfied. I'm here to tell you right now, my friend, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will satisfy you and fill you up and make you whole in His mighty name. By His blood, He gives life. And see, you think about the people today. I know I've talked to myriads of them down through the years. I've done it when I was evangelist. I did it when I was in a local church going witnessing twice a week, going to prison ministry and talking to the people that were in those prisons and listening to the rhetoric that came out of their mouth. I've worked with people where I was the only Christian in the whole place, and all drug addicts and alcoholics, and see them get born again and turn to Jesus. But I've heard the stories of darkness, my friend, and I can tell you right now, if the light shines, run to it with everything within you. Don't hold back. Understand that is your moment to get set free by the power of Almighty God. You think just for a moment. In darkness, you get more miserable. I think about, you know, people that commit suicide, because I've had to sit with too many people whose child blew their brains out. I've had to sit with too many people who did an OD. I've had to sit with families in emergency rooms where their kids had their bellies pumped out. And when I see a program come on that advocates that alcohol is good, I said, you tell me one good thing that alcohol has ever done for anybody. And I can take you down to the local junkyard and show you twisted, mangled metal and tell you what that'll do for you if you get on the highway and take an innocent person's life with it. You tell me what good it is to be involved in an immoral relationship with it, you know, whether it's fornication or adultery or whether it's AIDS. Because, my friend, I've sat in the hospital with AIDS people that have had lesions and bleeding sores all over their bodies, and you couldn't touch them for the pain that they were in because they screamed. I've been with the people that were pregnant out of wedlock and said, what am I going to do? I don't know how to tell mama. I don't know how to tell daddy. You tell me one good thing that darkness does. See, the devil wants to say, oh, this is the life, man. This is the gusto. Go for it. I mean, you're having a good time. Yes, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it will pay you wages at some point in time. And you think to yourself, because you've been in a relationship and you've had that euphoric time and you feel good, just like you were when you were on a date, and some people are locked up in some mindset that they think that everybody they marry has got to be a date, and they're divorced now 5 and 6 times. I can tell you, darkness is not good. Somebody say, darkness is not good. That's the devil's plan. The devil wants to destroy your life because you're always looking for the next relationship, the next high, the next thing that will make you feel good. I can tell you right now, get acquainted with him and you'll always feel good. Doesn't mean you won't have a bad day. It doesn't mean sometimes that you might not feel sad, but it means that you got a rock that's higher than you are, and you can run to the rock. You can run to God for help, and his grace is sufficient for you to help you and to get you out of that dilemma, your circumstances. Come on, somebody. Every person today here has had an opportunity. We have opportunities. Opportunities are in all shapes and sizes. You may think, well, I have nothing. But in fact, you have opportunity to have everything. I'm giving you an opportunity today to have everything. Everything. See, it's all a choice. It's all a choice. Recognizing everything is the key to success. Who is everything? God is everything. He's the door to total satisfaction. See, when God looked at the heavens and the earth and saw a chaotic, void, twisted, mangled mess and darkness, God did not say, let there be money. Let there be relationships. Let there be music. Let there be talent. Let there be peace. Let there be houses. God didn't say any of that stuff. What did he do? He stood up before those things ever existed because he understood they were already in existence in him. Oh, you got to catch that truth. While he was looking at that dark, mangled, twisted mess where none of this stuff existed, it was already existing in him. And so God gets up and he looks at that in the beginning were the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without void and form, and darkness was upon the face of the dirt of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And the Bible said, and there was light. Listen, he didn't create the sun or the stars. That was a different thing right here. The light of perception, the light of knowledge, the light of acknowledging that God is eternal and that he is the creator. See, the one thing that we need to unlock ourselves in life from the bondages is the light. Jesus came as the light of the world. John said in John chapter number 8, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, he that followeth money, no. He that followeth houses, he that followeth a hopeful relationship, he that followeth another high, he that followeth alcohol. He said, he that follows me, he that follows me, listen to what he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Glory to God. That's a good place to praise him right there. Follow him. John chapter 12, verses 46 and 48, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world. Man, I love this. That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. And here comes people. I told you, he said, not to judge. I told you not. Keep reading. He that rejecteth me and receives not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Wow. Jesus called you to be a fruit inspector. See, the Genesis light now is robed in flesh. In John chapter 1, he's the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never do detriment to it or snuff it out. Light always overpowers darkness. As long as there is light, darkness cannot prevail. Then in John chapter 1, this is what it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, or cannot do detriment to it, cannot snuff it out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear record of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own. Now that's an important statement, because the world is where darkness is. Love not the world. Remember last week, why did Lot run off to Sodom? Because of the city lights. Because of the world. What did the world have in it? Sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism, murder, thievery. And the list goes on. Strife, jealousy, hatred, division, racism, and the list goes on. You have no freedom, you have no rights, you're under the authority of the world in which you live. But I can tell you that when you come to the light, your authority changes. Your world changes. Somebody say, yes, it does. Because you can see. Now listen to what he says. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed upon his name. What's that say? He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become a son of God. Do you get that? You, the moment that the light comes on, you have an opportunity that is being given you to come out of the darkness into the light, but to be made, listen, to be made as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. God or the daughters of God. Somebody say hallelujah. What does that mean? I live in this world and I reign in life by Jesus Christ as a king and as a priest. I have been called by him to be light. He said, I am the light of the world. He tells his people, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before the children of men that are in the darkness that they can glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, my friend, that's why it's important today to understand that darkness, somebody say darkness, darkness cannot survive as long as I thrive. Now listen, I got to finish this. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus came to call us out of the darkness. The question is, if you will hear his voice, are you going to answer? Because I know what it's like to sit in the back of a church when altar calls are given and hang on to the back of the pew until your knuckles turn white. I know what it's like that 5 minutes before you know that that service is coming to an end, all of a sudden your bladder comes on and you got to go pee somewhere. I know what it is to think, oh my God, I just got to, my leg itches and I just can't sit in front of here, scratch myself in front of everybody. I got to get out of here right now. See, I know what it's like for you to lean over and talk to the third person down the row from you or look over here and smile or begin to, you know, get fidgety and everything else because the Holy Spirit is coming into that service to bring conviction. And I know what it's like to have dumb saints of God to sit there and do dumb stuff to aid them in their process of not being able to come to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you this morning that I want you to understand that the light is shining right now and God is trying to get you to make a decision to come to the light. You don't have to stay in the darkness anymore. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. You're exactly right because the Bible says where there is the spirit of confusion, there is every evil work. Confusion is a work of the enemy. It is a demon out of hell that wants to keep you thinking wrong and keep making the wrong decisions in life. And you're trying to figure out, why am I so depressed and beaten down and distraught in life? It is because, my friend, that you are lost and in darkness and you need the light to come on so that Jesus can lead you out into the marvelous light. Amen. Oh my God, you know the circumstances. It doesn't matter whether you were adopted. It doesn't matter whether you were rejected. It doesn't matter whether you're insecure. It does not matter, my friend, on what you go through in life. Those are circumstances that under the blood of Jesus that you're not under. Listen, that's darkness ministering to you and the devil telling you that you can never rise up out of that. But I'm here to tell you, he gives beauty for ashes. Oh my God. Who? The last time I went to clean out my Vision ceramic grill to pull that drawer out and see those ashes, there was nothing beautiful there about the ashes. When I lived at home and all my granny had to heat her house was a fireplace, and you know we would have to come in and shovel the ashes out. How many knows what I'm talking about today? There was nothing beautiful about the ashes because those little black cinders would get on the floor and you know, they would be, there's sometimes a little sooty, dusty thing that came along with it. But how does God, what's God talking about? Remember that he made you out of the dust and the dirt of the earth. When God looks at your ashes of a messed up life that hell has burnt up and has been destroyed and mangled and twisted and brought, and you've lived in that constant darkness, I want you to understand that he takes those ashes. And so you think you can't get out of it? You think you can't stop it? You're exactly right. You can't. But when you answer the call of Jesus that says, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened. Now you'll find rest to your soul. Come to me. Jesus says, come when the light comes on. When I'm calling to you and you feel that tugging at your heart. See, I know what that's like when that last stanza of the song comes on or the man of God is giving the altar call and you're saying, just shut up, man. I've had enough of it. Just please, please. I'll be so glad when he quits talking because I feel mighty uncomfortable right now and I'm not ready to make a decision to give my heart to Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, I wish that I had given my heart to Jesus the first time that I sat under that in a church instead of waiting until I did give my heart to Jesus in an apartment building, because if I'd have given my heart to Jesus when I was sitting at the church years earlier, then I could have avoided avoided all the other stuff that drove me to my knees in an apartment. Come on, what am I talking about? I'm telling you that the darkness gets darker and darker and darker until somebody comes along with the gospel light and says, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. The light comes on. And see, the great thing about it, and I want you to listen to this, church, because this is important. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2 and 9. But Jesus came to build a church. Now listen, how does he do it? The church is called the ecclesia. The word ecclesia in the Greek means called out ones. Jesus is building his church out of broken, downtrodden, heaps of ashes of people that don't deserve anything in life, that are nobodies from the other side of the track. Oh, dear God, I can sit here. I think about James Robinson, you know, who was an illegitimate child, how that God has raised him up in the Southern Baptist Institute and used him in that ministry. I think about Bill Wilson, who his mother left out on the sidewalk and drove away. And then a preacher came and picked him up. And now he's raised up a church and runs several thousand people because he loves kids. Come on, somebody. You tell me you came from the other side of the track? Oh, no, you don't understand. No matter how horrible and bad your story is, I can show you somebody that's risen up from one worse than you are. That gives me hope. What about Jesus of Nazareth? He was born in a manger, an animal trough, abject poverty. They considered him to be an illegitimate child. He had the stigma on him. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you the truth. Go back and study it historically. That's why when they looked at Jesus and they called him a Nazarene, it wasn't a good thing for them to call him that. And another point that we need to drive home is the fact of this, is that Jesus was looked down on by society. They didn't hail him to come as some individual. It was the people that he came to, and he began to speak with that rabbinical authority that came from heaven and not the earthly realm. And when he spoke, people got healed. His shadow began to heal people. His tallit, or his tzitzit hanging from the tallit, people reached out and touched it with their fingers, and blood issues were dried up, and people were set free because he healed them in a moment, in an instant of time, miraculously by the flow of the power of God that came out of him. See, what I'm telling you is when the light comes, darkness is going to run for cover. Darkness is going to flee. Darkness has to start backing up. And see, so Jesus comes to build his church, and he builds it. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to life. He calls us to be able to see. He calls us to health. He calls us out of all the issues. And I can tell you this morning that Jesus is calling you out of disease. He's calling you out of pain. He's calling you out of misery. He's calling you out of the hell that you're living in. He's calling you out of your circumstances. And he loved you enough to prove it by going to the cross and giving his life on that altar, and by shedding his life's blood and going through all the pain and the suffering that he went through. He did that for you so that he could call you out of the darkness into his marvelous light and change your life. Because he wants every man to see the manifest power of God. Because as many as received him, what? To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, you cannot hide light. I said, you cannot hide light. I said, you cannot hide light. You cannot hide light. I said, you cannot hide light. I'm going to say it again. You cannot hide light. I said, you cannot hide light. You cannot hide light. You can't put your candle under a box, because that light will still come out from under the cracks. You're a city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. I'm telling you that you cannot hide your light. You cannot hide your light. So Jesus is telling you, my friend, said you need to shine your light for the many out here that are lost without him, the ones that are hurting and broken and in need, so that he can give them beauty for ashes today. When Jesus says you cannot hide the light, the word light is phos in the Greek, and it means you cannot hide the truth of knowledge, the knowledge of truth. Light always exposes the darkness. Amen. For the sinner and the saint. You see, because God is interested in the saint growing and overcoming. Because the first thing God will do is put his finger on your darkness. For the sinner, it's just simply light, light, light. God is shining the light. God is shining the light. God is shining the light. Today, God is shining the light. Listen to me. This morning, it doesn't matter what circumstance, what they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Ask Bill Wilson. My mama drove off and left me sitting on the sidewalk. How old was he? Yeah, 6, 7. Oh, I'll be back, honey. I'll be back. I'll be back to get you, because she did it before. He waited for days, and a pastor drove by. A bus ministry. You know what he does the day he drives a bus in his own church in New York City to pick up kids, to bring them to church? That mean every pastor should drive a bus? No, I'm just telling you that he hates darkness to the point that he is fierce against anybody abandoning a little one. What kind of darkness are you dealing with right now? What kind of darkness are you dealing with? Because that darkness will only get darker. That's what darkness does. If you remain in the darkness will only get worse. The Apostle Paul said, "You were once darkness, but now are you light. Walk as children of light." Because God knows that how important it is for us to go out and preach Christ so that they can have beauty for their ashes. Somebody say, beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. I'm reminded of a story where a little boy, and this happens all the time, this little boy's parents were killed in an automobile accident. And he had no family to go to. And this little boy was afraid because of his future. Because how many knows that when you're small and your mom and dad get taken from you, it gets dark real quick. It gets dark. And so this man and woman came along and they befriended him. Well, you know the first inclination is for this little boy to latch onto somebody that he sees that can be a potential mother and father. And so this little boy, the light comes on. This man and woman to begin with, well, I don't know. I don't know, you know, they do something for him. They take him somewhere. They buy something for him and things like that because they want to be nice. Are you listening to me? And so a little time goes by. This little boy still doesn't have a mom and a dad. And so this man and woman are wrestling with the fact, well, should I adopt this child? Can we do this at this stage in our life? Should we do this? And so what ultimately happens is that they finally make the decision. This little boy has given up hope of them being a mother and father. Now there's other prospects that come. Nothing happens or works out. And so they show back up, knock on the door. Enter in. They go to the authorities that are there. The things are already in the works. And this little boy comes out. And so they get down before him and they say these words. said, well, we just want to know if you will allow us to be your mother and your father. Of course, you know, the little boy is thinking to himself, am I hearing right? Is this, are you, you know, you're asking permission for me to be your little boy? Yes, I want to be your little boy. And so you can imagine the laughter and the happiness and all the stuff that begins to break out. But this is what I want you to get. God does the same exact thing. Because we have received the adoption, the spirit of adoption into our lives whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But the Father comes to us and asks us to get on board. He doesn't force you. He doesn't make you. He's not heavy-handed about it. He just wants you to know that the darkness is going to get worse. See, God Almighty understands the darkness. That's why he was willing to put his son through what he went through, making Jesus, who knew no sin, to be our sin. So I tell you this morning, don't ever think that you're not good enough to come to God, because Jesus has already bore your sin, carried your sickness. He's already bore your disease. He's already done that. So don't ever think that you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. He's looking for your life that's nothing but a heap of ashes so that he can come along and say, I want to give you a choice. The choice is I can make something beautiful out of your ashes, or you can stay in the ashes and get darker and darker and darker. So I want you to stand with me this morning. I think I'm done. And I want every head bowed. Jennifer, come on up. Right now, I want you to think about yourself. Focus inwardly. Ask yourself the question, how many ashes are in my life? Is my life like a heap of ashes? How dark is it in my life? See, the Bible says that the sons of men love darkness rather than light. That's how blind that people are. So you'll never understand life until you come to the light. The moment you come to the light, life happens. Matter of fact, they say at the moment of conception that light happens. That's an amazing thing to me. Today, you got to look introspectively at yourself. See, I don't believe it's by happenstance or coincidence that God Almighty has given me this word today. And I don't believe it's by happenstance, circumstance, or coincidence that you're sitting here in this house under the sound of my voice. Because I sat down on a Friday night and wrote that thing out as the Spirit of God gave it to me. Line after line after line, and I've tried to stay as true to it as I possibly can. So, how dark is it in your life? Satan wants to make it so dark that he can destroy you. He wants to make it so dark that there's no way out. But I'm telling you, I'm shining light today. This is what Jesus says. I've come to give you beauty for your ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I've come today to lift you out of your circumstances, to lift you out of your dilemma, to give you a brand new life. I've come to give you light. I've come to deliver you today from all the things and the circumstances, all the junk, the darkness that the enemy has been holding you bondage to. But you're going to have to make the decision. I can't make that decision for you. You're going to have to answer Jesus. That's why the ecclesia is the called out ones. He's calling to you today. He's calling, come unto me, all you that are burdened, all you that are heavy laden. Come to me. come to me. Come to me and you will find rest for your soul. So right now, with every head bowed, I want to give you an opportunity today to come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Make a decision for life. I promise you that if you will mean business with God, if you will come and you will ask Him today for forgiveness of all sin, if you will ask Him to come into your heart, if you would acknowledge that He died on the cross for you and that He rose on the third day, if you acknowledge Him as Lord, your life will be forever changed. I can attest to it because I've experienced it. I know it to be true. Only God could do for me what He did. So right now, in Jesus' name, while every head is bowed, I'm going to give an altar call. I'm going to count to three. And when I say the number three, I want you to respond. Just step out and come to Jesus. The best decision you'll ever make. Right now is the time to come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Don't fool yourself. I know it can be difficult to step out because it was difficult for me, but I did it. I did it. Right now, one, two, three, come to Jesus today. The altar's open right now. Meet me at this altar. As they begin to sing, meet me at this altar. I sense it. Step out. Come on. You can do this. You can do this. This is what you need.
Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty.